You are listening to the Bullet Beans to Big Dreams podcast with your host and entrepreneur, Jem Wirth, from Council Estate to Living Her Dream.
Hello and welcome to my podcast, Bullet Beans to Big Dreams, episode number 5. So today I've got a super special guest that needs no introduction at all. She started off as a council estate kid like myself, then went selling forklift trucks. And I've got to get this right because this is a massive introduction. She is a successful multi-six figure beauty business owner, multi-award winning salon owner and a business coach for thousands of women. Is that correct?
You missed that, the international business coach.
Oh, international, international. So I forgot that bit, sorry. International business coach. So she really doesn't need no introduction. This podcast is called The Beauty Queen Living Her Dream. So a big, massive welcome to Alicia Bradley. Hello.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
This is weird.
It is weird. It's like I was in the reverse.
I was in the hot seat a couple of months ago.
Yeah, now I'm in the hot seat.
You're never in the hot seat.
No, I like it. I like the hot seat.
Under pressure.
Never. You'll never get me under pressure. Not unless I'm like mega due on and I've got 25 jobs, then I'm under pressure.
That's not good, is it?
Other than that, I'm pretty cool.
Well, thank you for coming on. I know you're a very, very busy woman.
No problem. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to do it.
I'm buzzing about this.
Yeah, me too. God only knows what is going to come out of our mouths today, Jem.
Fucking hell. It is marked as explicit, this podcast.
Yeah, good, mine is too. I was like, what am I going to call it? Pete Goes Academy, Unleashed. Mm-hmm. That is what it needs. It needs that thing so we can actually swear and stuff.
Yeah, definitely. So, I want to know, obviously know some of your story anyway, but for the people that don't know, I want to know like how you started, how you've got to where you are today. You've got such an amazing story and I think it's so relatable to people.
Yeah, okay.
So, fire away.
Okay, so we'll just... where should I start? So I grew up on a council estate in Newark with my mum and dad and my two sisters and my brother. My mum and dad always worked and stuff, but they never really had like spare money or anything like that. So from about 11 years old, I would go and clean cars. I would go and do like cut people's grass, take rubbish and just go and earn my own money. I used to spend it on picnics. When I was younger, so I've always been really driven and wanted to earn money.
Yeah.
The problem was when I got to school, I was an absolute twat. So I got kicked out of 3 secondary schools and ended up actually leaving school at 14 years old. And from leaving school, see back then there weren't like it weren't like it is now. You know, like if
truant officer, like, all that
it's not really like it is. So I kind of got away with it and left school at 14. Went to work on a horse yard with my mum. She managed the horse yard, so I used to go and graft down there for 10-12 hours a day for 20 quid a day. Mm-hmm. Now that should have been fucking reported because that is, looking back, that is slave labour,
isn't it? That.
But I was earning the money, and at that point, I was spending it on Lamborghini.
I've got a story about Lamborghini.
Oh God, I don't think I could ever drink it again in my entire living day.
Horrible.
So what happened then was when I eventually got to 16 and I could legally get my first job on minimum wage, like I think back then, God, what was it, like £5.50 an hour or something
like that.
And I thought I was bawling because I'm like, oh my God, I've gone from earning 20 quid a day, now I can earn 20 quid in 4 hours.
Yeah.
I'm going to work as much as I can and earn as much as I can. So when I was like 16, 17, I was earning like 300-400 quid a week because I'd have 2 jobs. I worked in a sandwich shop during the day, then I worked as a kitchen assistant in the evenings and at the weekends. So I've always had it in me to want to earn money because it was never something that was readily, like, freely available from my parents. They did the best that they could, and obviously we were never without.
Yeah.
But it was never like, as soon as I turned 16, I didn't get one penny. I think I was 15 actually. I didn't get a penny off my mum and dad. Mm-hmm. If I wanted to go out with the girls at the weekend and drink Lamborghini on the park, I had to fund that or steal it, and I did both. So
we've all been there.
Eventually, when I got arrested for stealing, it caused a bit of a problem because then it was on the criminal fucking record.
I didn't know you had a criminal record.
Yeah, I do.
That's a new
criminal record for theft.
I got in trouble for stealing from Woolworths.
Woolworths.
Yeah, I got in trouble.
Would you want to know the funny story? This is funny. The funny story is that I never actually got caught stealing from the shops and stuff like that. I broke into my friend's house with my friend at the time. It was a guy. And do you know what I stole?
Go on.
A jammy fucking wagon wheel. He robbed his dad's bureau, which was full of money. I had the fucking jammy wagon wheel and I got the criminal record. Where is the justice in that?
I bet you never read it.
They're still my favourite. Listen, I will take a criminal record for a jammy wagon wheel any day. I did a story the other week. I was in my hot tub at home and I did a story and I was like, look, guys, I don't mean to rub this in, but I'm sat in a hot tub with a jammy fucking wagon wheel and it sucks to be you. It's all about the jammy wagon wheels. Absolutely love them. I can eat like 4 or 5 in a round. So, anyway, back to the story. So then I started working like in proper jobs, so to speak, and then I got a job as a cleaner. Because I was working for my auntie in the sandwich shop and big family argument happened, whatever, and then I had to move on and find another job. So I started working for somebody called Rudy, and he had a business coaching company. And I started off as their cleaner in the house because the business was quite busy and mm-hmm. they needed someone to help them clean, get food ready and things like that. So I helped do the cleaning, but I was actually pregnant and I never told them that I was pregnant when I got this job. I didn't, obviously I was like, I'm going for a new job. I'm not going to tell them I'm pregnant. So I didn't tell them that I was pregnant. Got the job cleaning. And as time went on, I started to like obviously show and stuff. And I thought, I'm going to have to come clean and tell them. So I told them that I was pregnant and she was really happy for me. This is Fiona Rudy's wife. And she said to me, you know, she doesn't really want me up the 3 flights of stairs with the Hoover and stuff. I was pregnant. Would I be interested in doing telesales, outbound telesales? So what that would mean is I would call businesses up and try and set up a meeting for Rudy to go and see the business owner to sell them business coaching. Mm-hmm. So I was like, yeah, I'll give it a go. No problem. Like I was up for anything. I'd do anything to earn money. And it was better money as well than what I was going to be earning because I could earn like commission and bonuses and stuff. Yeah. So I started doing that and I was really fucking good at it. Like I would ring up companies and I was just getting Rudy that busy that it got to the point where they really could expand the business. Mm-hmm. So we moved to a premises near Kinnamarsh, which is near Sheffield. And eventually we grew the business up to the point where I was actually the office manager. There was business coaches, telesales team, telesales mm-hmm. managers, business development managers. And I was pretty much in charge of them all. So it had gone from me working in their attic on the telephones all day to then us having this big office space, you know, and like, I think there was like 9 or 10 of us on the team at one point. And I was running it and I was 18 at this point and I did it, like I worked throughout all my pregnancy. Mm-hmm. I was actually, my daughter went into special care for 3 weeks. I was working while she was in special care. I've always just had that fucking hustle. Like, I need to earn the money. That's what I've got to do. So, a long story short with them, it went really well and I loved the job, but I wanted something new. I've got this thing and I'm noticing this more as I get older. I build something up, it's really successful, then I'm like, what's next? What's next? What's next? I'm always looking for what's next, which is fine. I've made peace with that. You might not have, Gemma, but now I've got like 95 businesses.
I know,
but
yeah. It's all right, it's all right.
I've just told Gemma when she walked in, the new business that I want to open, and she's like, what the fuck? I might tell them on the podcast. So if you ask me what the plans are, I'll tell them. So I wanted to go and one of my friends had told me about working in field sales. So you can work, like you work from your home, but you get a company car, you get a company laptop, company phone. The salaries are a lot bigger and things like that. So I was like, I'm really interested in that. So I decided to go and have a look into it. And it turned out that I was not qualified enough to do field sales, but I just did not let that stop me whatsoever. Absolutely did not give a shit. So I thought, I'll just tell them, like, how are you even going to prove that I haven't got any GCSEs? Mm-hmm. I'll just put on my CV that I've got GCSEs.
Everyone's done that.
No one fucking checked.
I fucking lied about mine.
No, I can't even count to fucking be, mate. So I applied for this job and I remember it was on £24,800 a year and this was on like 19 at this point.
That was a lot of money.
And you got a brand new car, you got a laptop, you got a phone, like you can earn commission as well. So I was like, I'm just going to go for it. So I remember this time I was suffering really, really bad panic attacks and anxiety and I didn't dare drive on a motorway. And I applied for the job and I had to drive to Doncaster to go for the interview.
Yeah.
And I was like, I remember the morning, I was just thinking, I can't do it. And I was just like, you're fucking doing it. Mm-hmm. Like, you are going to that interview. So I got on the motorway, drove to Doncaster about 30 miles an hour. Because I had this thing, I've not got it now, but I just had this fear of it. I had a panic attack on the motorway in the dark, in the rain, on the way back from Meadowhall once. And I literally nearly fucking killed my entire family. So anyway, so I got all the way to Doncaster, went for the interview and blagged the shit out of it, because that's one thing that I picked up how to do from being a young 14-year-old rebel, you know, to whatever. I knew how to blag. And also, like, I could blag my days off school, my exclusions, I would blag anything. So I went in and I absolutely blagged the interview. They rang me whilst I was on the way home and offered me it there and then, and I was like, what the fuck?
What the hell?
And then I'm like, what am I going to do with all this money? Anyway, I found ways to spend it and get myself in debt. That's what happens, isn't it, when you're young?
Yeah, of course.
Provident loan. Yeah, that sounds like a great idea. Why
would I do that? Can you imagine doing that now?
No, you won't, would you? And they didn't teach you none of that shit at school.
They should teach you about
that. They really should. About mortgages, about credit rating, about all that stuff. It would be so useful.
Yeah.
Anyway, so there's some lessons that I had to learn when I was younger. Yeah, you never know. Financial advisors.
We'll turn our answer out, won't we?
You never know. So I got in this sales job and I absolutely loved it at first, and I was smashing records. I was very competitive. So anybody that came in, I'd come into a business and like there'd be a number one and number two salesperson. You always knew who they were, and I was like, I'm fucking taking your spot. So that's what I was like.
Yeah.
So I would. I'd go out and I'd work hard and I'd sell, and I weren't scared to go knock on doors and, you know, ask for whoever I needed to speak to. I weren't scared to go and do sales meetings. I was like, I'm going for that number one spot, because with that number one spot comes another £1,000 to £2,000 a month in commission. Yeah. I'm fucking getting that number one spot. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? So, yeah. I remember one month I took home £7,300 in sales.
Oh my God.
£7,000. That was when I was selling forklift trucks. I bagged a really big deal and my salary that month was £7,000.
That's mad.
Fucking mega. And this is like, I had no qualifications, but I could sell because I could blag. Exactly. So, so then what started happening was, it was like a little pattern. So I'd go into one sales job, I'd wipe it out, like wipe the person off the leaderboard. I'd get there, I'd like sort of get up there, like in the top sort of top bracket for sales. Then I got really fucking bored and disheartened and down and just like, I'm fed up, I don't like this. And it's really, looking back for me now, I almost feel like I was a bit ungrateful, because I had everything. I had the salary, I had the car, I had everything, but something just wasn't fulfilling, like it weren't fulfilling me. So what I decided to do was find another sales company and go and work for a different company, because I thought, it's this company, I don't like it. So I found another sales job, decent salary, you know, car, all that stuff. And went into work for them, smashed the sales, did the same thing again, like, you know, knocked the person off the leaderboard.
Yeah.
I actually, in this company, invoiced the most amount of sales in my first 4 weeks than anyone in the history of company ever invoiced. Yeah, and I've got a picture and a certificate for it and everything. And the company had been running for like 45 years. And
That's mad.
Went in and literally broke the record in the first few weeks. So, yeah, and then the same thing had happened. So I'd be like, really miserable. And also I was thinking, like, I'm earning these companies fucking thousands of pounds. Like, yeah, I'm getting paid well, but if I had my own business doing this, I'd be able to make a fortune. So at that point I thought, you know, I want my own business, but I never knew what I was going to end up doing. But it was scary and I weren't ready, so I decided, you know, this company's not for me, I'm going to go to another company. But I made a pact with myself on the third company that I went to in sales, and I said to myself, if I feel like this again in a year's time, it's not the company, it's me. Like, something's going to have to change. So I went into this company, this is when I was selling forklift trucks. Loved it, got on really well with all the blokes. Like, I've seen health and safety managers, operations managers, site managers. I'm dead down to earth. I can speak to anybody. So I found it really comfortable. What happened eventually in that job was the same thing. I couldn't be asked to get up in the morning. I didn't want to go and do the sales calls. I'd smashed it. Like, once it's almost like once I proved myself, then I fell off the wagon.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to do it anymore. That desire to do the proving had gone, because I'd already done it.
Yeah.
Everyone knew I was capable. Everybody knew that I could do these things. So at that point, I started playing around with the idea of, I want my own business, but I don't know what it is that I want to do. And I always knew from being quite young that I wanted to be a life coach. And I think from working with Rudy in the business coaching company, like, that always really interested me. But at that point, I was like, how can I coach people when I've not got my shit together? Like, I can sell and I'm doing well in my job, but, you know, underneath the surface, I'm fucking miserable. Like, I'm not happy. I'm not fulfilled. So then I decided to start my own business, and that's when I looked at the beauty industry, and I looked in Chesterfield, and I thought, like, how can I make, I want to make money and I want to enjoy what I'm doing. Now, I've been working in sales in forklift trucks, so I was used to wearing safety shoes, high vis vest, helmet, safety hats, all that stuff, like gloves and work trousers. Like, it was literally like I was in a man's world.
Yeah.
And I thought, do you know what? Like, I am a girly girl.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I am and I'm not, but on, like, with my presence and stuff, I do like to consider myself that I am a bit of a girly girl. So I didn't feel comfortable wearing high vis jackets and fucking safety shoes honestly the ugliest things in the world.
They are
fucking gross.
Look and, right on blokes.
But when you're walking across the site and there's like 25 lads on forklift trucks and you're there in a fucking hard hat, it's so embarrassing.
I felt like a great twat.
So I thought, like, I'd really like to do the beauty, and I'd been going and having aesthetics done from someone in Chesterfield, and she actually said to me, like, why don't you do this? And I was like, I don't know if I can. Anyway, I looked into it and I could do it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd opened my first aesthetics, my first business, which is my beauty business, and started doing aesthetics. And basically, all the knowledge that I had built up over the years of selling and marketing and working for a business coaching company, I applied that to the beauty business of my own that I opened, and it just went fucking crazy.
That's how we met, wasn't it?
Yeah, we were actually in
the gym.
Loads of my staff that worked for me came to me for treatments, and now they work for me.
It's mad, isn't it?
Yeah, it's crazy. So then, like, I was making a flipping bomb, like an absolute bomb. And I enjoyed it for a while. This is my little pattern. I enjoyed it for a while. So I was weeks and weeks and weeks, like, in advance booked, out with clients. I was earning a lot of money. I was renting a little space in the gym, if you remember that.
I remember. And
the thing is like, the entrepreneur in me, the me that always wants more, that she was bubbling away again. She was like, what's next? What's going to happen? And I remember messaging Rudy, who we used to work for the business coaching company, and saying to him, like, Rudy, I really want to expand this business, but I'm not sure if I want to take a risk. And he'd come back to me and he said, I want you to write down all your opportunities that you've got with your business in the space you're in now, and then I want you to write down all the opportunities that you've got in your business if you move to another space. And the other space won, because my opportunities were endless. Mm-hmm. Where I was very limited, because you couldn't fucking swing a cat in that room. But
it was tiny, wasn't it? I remember.
Yeah,
my
toilets in my new business are bigger than that fucking room.
I know. How many years ago was that now?
Three and a half years.
That's crazy.
That's
mad.
It's crazy. So I went for a spa day on my own, which I always do, and people think I'm weird for that, but there's nothing worse for me than going for a spa day with someone else.
Yeah.
Because how can you think and get shit done? My spa days are my business meetings. Yeah. And lockdown's killed me, because I've had so many booked and cancelled, honestly. So I'm looking forward to opening, because that will be like a fortnightly ritual for me. But that's the life that I built for myself now. I can't do that. So I decided I was going to move premises, and I ended up with Bellevue, which is 2,800 square foot building. We've got 14 rooms, acre of land. And now I've got a team of, I think it's 17 at the minute. What I did was I just fucking grafted, Gem, and you know I did. Like,
oh, yeah, you're a grafter.
Absolute grafter. 4 a.m. in the morning till 10 p.m. at night, 7 days a week is what I was doing then. Obviously, not now, I don't, because I don't need to. And I've learned the lesson that that's not actually the way to graft or attract. My journey up to, and then I was being asked by people, like, how have you built this successful business? How have you done this? And that's when I started doing my coaching. So I started coaching other female business owners and helping them, because I had learned so much, like, spiritually about the law of attraction, about personal development, growth. And that's when I started helping other people, and I built my members club for the Beauty Growth Academy. So obviously I own my beauty business, and I've got a couple of businesses within that business. Then I've got the Beauty Growth Academy, and that's an online members club for women that have got beauty businesses, and I teach them everything that I know. And now I've got 466 paying members group. We've just done another launch. So 460 odd paying members in my group, and that business is absolutely flying. It fulfills me, it makes me happy. So Bellevue is now running pretty much without me. I've taken a step back now. I only go into the business if I want to. If I'm honest with you, I've got 2 days booked in. I think they will be my last 2 days in treatments because I just don't have the desire to do it anymore. I must have done 20,000-30,000 aesthetic treatments over the years.
Mad.
And fucking, you get to a point where it's like, you know, I've got all the things that I enjoy doing. So I hope my clients aren't listening to this. But yeah, maybe I'll go in once a month, maybe I won't, who knows.
Yeah.
But it's nice to have that choice.
Of course.
Yeah, that's the brief version.
that's the very brief version.
How fucking long was I talking for?
Just short of 20 minutes.
No fucking way. I bet everyone's turned off now. They're like, fucking hell.
No, she goes, yeah. No, everyone loves you.
Thanks. I mean, I'm sure not everyone, but well, you can't please them all, baby. No,
I've just put a new blog up and what have I called it? Not everyone's cup of tea.
I read it. Yes. I've seen it on your thing.
There was a typo in it, actually. I spotted it.
Yeah. I didn't.
Like,
oh, well, fucking human.
But, not everyone's cup of tea, and that was because of obviously online trolling and stuff like that. So you're always going to get haters and stuff.
Of course you are.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
But that's because I found that people are jealous and they just think that people see people like me and you, because we come from the same background, council estate kids, been in trouble with filth, done this, done that, led a bit of a fruitful life, probably.
Yeah.
I'm dreading this book coming out.
Oh, mate.
I know, when she was 16 and I slept with a behind bike shed or something like that, I'm dreading it.
I'll probably have people ring up and say, fucking hell, I'm going to wear my jammy wagon wheels when Alicia came
around. You know what I mean? But no, people look at people like me and you and they don't see that what goes on behind the scenes. Me and you have always been up at 4 or 5 in the morning, grafting till 10 o'clock every night, Saturdays and Sundays.
Yeah,
never. And now we're both at that point. Obviously, April's a little bit different for me, but as a rule, I've got staff and I can just kind of take a step back. If I want a day off, I can have a day off.
Absolutely.
Like, as soon as we can fly,
we're gone.
You will not see us in this country, will you?
We will be gone.
We've built that up, haven't we, to our business.
Yeah, and I think that's where people get, where the jealousy and insecurity comes from in some people when they look at other people and they may see like you going to New York or me going on holiday every 6 weeks, like, oh, she fucking, and it's like, you haven't worked a fraction of what we put into it.
Exactly.
It's about balance, and I think you learn that as you grow, and like for me as a business owner now with like, you know, a six-figure business and a multi-six-figure business and staff and all that stuff, actually, it's most important that I'm fucking good. And if that means I need to go on holiday, I'll go on holiday. Because if I'm out of alignment and my shit's not together, my business is suffering. I'm not available for that. So I make my decisions now with absolutely no regrets on how it could possibly impact anyone else. It's about, is it good for me? Mm-hmm. Yes. Is it good for me? No. And then I decide, am I going to do it or not?
Exactly, yeah.
So, I'm all about the holiday life and being able to take a step back. That's what I've worked for.
Exactly what you do work for.
That's exactly what I've worked for.
I've grafted like solid for 3 years, exactly. Like you.
Exactly. And look at us in lockdown. We haven't stopped, Jen.
I know.
We haven't fucking stopped. Everyone's been like for the last year, not everybody, but so many people for the last year have done fuck all with their spare time. Do you know what, this is something that drives me slightly crazy, is like, some people say, I want me in business, but I can't do it because I've not got the time.
Yeah, you can.
So many people have been furloughed for the last year and still not started that fucking business
or
done that thing. Or they've just gone, oh, I can't do anything because of furlough. And it's like, I've just built a whole new business that now allows me fucking incredible financial freedom because I've not stopped. Do you know when the borders open? Then I'll stop.
Me too.
Then I'll stop.
I'm the same. I've always got, this brand, the Bullet Beans brand. Strength. I've not stopped. As well as running all the other businesses.
Exactly.
So there is time.
We've
all got the same 24 hours in one day, that's
exactly
what I'm saying.
It
depends what you want to work for, doesn't it? If you've got that mindset. Definitely. So, I've got some questions.
Hit them.
So, every podcast, I always ask the same 5 questions.
Okay.
My favourite one is the last one, that's why I leave it to last.
Okay.
I like to see people's reaction
and
what they say to me. But anyway, so I'm going to start from number one. So, number one, who are the 3 people that have been most influential in your life?
Oh, okay. So I'm going to say my brother, because obviously I lost my brother to cancer and he was just a fucking warrior. I'm not going to stay on that subject too long because I can feel myself tearing.
Yes.
So let's say Lex. Number 2 would definitely, without a shadow of a doubt, be Rudy, who I used to work for, business coaching company. I still speak to him. I actually seen him the other day because he lives locally to
That's
me.
Mad.
Still speak to him now. He doesn't understand the impact that he made on my life from being young, because I was a young rebel.
I've got goosebumps saying that.
Yes. And I've said this to a million times. He's like, he's South African, and he's so funny and smiling. And he's like, hey, I didn't do the hard work, Alicia, you did. And I'm like, I can just hear him. He's the cutest.
He's got a cool accent, hasn't
he? Yeah, I love it. So he made a huge impact on my life.
Mm-hmm.
And number 3, who else? they feel like the answer should be, oh, my daughter, or this and that, and it's not.
Could be whoever you want it to be.
I think probably Gabby Bernstein,
okay,
who is a spiritual leader, spiritual teacher, and I was going through a period of my life when I was abusing alcohol, abusing drugs, mm-hmm. and I'll just put that out there, like, I'm not afraid to say that.
Yeah.
And I remember hitting rock bottom and thinking, like, there's got to be a way out of this, like, I don't want to live this life anymore. I don't want to do it. Like, I went on fucking crack or heroin or anything like that. It was recreational, but I didn't want to be there anymore. And I remember finding her one night, I think like 3 o'clock in the morning, and I found her on YouTube. And I started reading her books. Mm-hmm. And then I've read all of her books now, and I've listened to like so much of her podcast. And she's just, on a spiritual level, like, I've opened up so much more. Like, I meditate now, I'm aligned, I work with the law of attraction, I believe in my spirit guides, I believe that there's mm-hmm. something more in this universe. So yeah, I would say she definitely made a huge impact to me, and that would, I would say that them three people that are the reason why I have built the life that I've built now, because if I didn't have their influence, I wouldn't have got to this. I don't know where I'd be.
I think I can relate to obviously choosing your brother, you know, like your brother, because I've obviously had a loss, which everyone knows.
Yeah.
And it kind of, it's weird. I think only like a few people can probably get what we've done or get it. But like, if you lose someone that's so close to you, it gives you that drive and that determination to either make them proud or do something in their honour.
Yeah, in their honour, like retiring. My dad was a big thing. My dad last year, and I always remember, like, my dad's always worked really hard, and him and Lex were really, really close. And I remember saying to Lex when he was poorly, like, I will do everything I can to help mum and dad. Like, I promise you, I will make it successful.
You've got to keep them promises, aren't you?
And now, like, I pay most of the bills. I've retired my dad, who doesn't have to work anymore. Look after my mum, do you know what I mean? Like, for example, the front door broke the other day. I'm like, go and buy a new one. Yeah. You know, I've got the money.
Isn't that such a good position to be in?
Mate. Yeah, and I'm like, I'm taking him abroad when I get this year. I'm going to pay for a villa again for the family to go to.
Which you've done before.
I've done before, like, so... It needs my driving force behind that.
Some people would see that as being kind of flashy and all that, but for me, I'm the same as you. I come from the same as you, and you're not being flashy.
No.
You're just giving something back. Money, you spend your money, what you've earned, on the people that you love and you want to give it back. And people say, oh, you've got this, you've got that. I don't care. I'm giving it back to people that have been there for me when I was eating 9 fucking beans.
Exactly.
From Tesco Two-Strike. You know what I mean? And having nothing and having nowhere to go, and the people that have, you know, been there for you.
Yeah, definitely.
You know?
Yeah.
Right. I love that question.
I like that question too. Yeah.
What do you wish you had known 10 years ago?
Oh, what do I wish I had known 10 years ago? It's almost like, so how old would I have been 10 years ago? I'd have been 20. I wish I could have, like, just known that I'm always going to be okay. Everything's always going to look after itself. Everything always works out, because throughout, like, my journey building businesses, and I know yours will be the same, there's days that you sit and think, fucking hell, can I do this? Yeah. Like, is it going to work? I've just risked 25 grand opening a salon.
Yeah,
and then things creep in. I wish 10 years ago I'd have just had a little nudge for myself going, you've got this. And, like, now I look back and think, God, them days that I spent stressing were really fucking irrelevant, because now I've get to live a life on my terms.
Yeah.
And everything everything always works out.
I'm the same. It's mad to think all them years ago, probably you were sat there, like you said, you invested a lot. I was sat there thinking, can I do this? And I was sat there thinking, right, I've got enough clients to pay my rent on the office, pay my internet and pay my phone bill.
Yeah.
I had enough of that.
Yeah.
And that was it.
And then you just go from there.
And I was like, it's nice to be in that position that you don't have to, what's that? I've seen a quote and it says, be that financially secure, you don't know when your next pay is.
I love that. And you know,
it's so true.
It's so true. Like, because like my members club, for example, like there's 3 dates that a load of payments go through on, because I do it the way that I've launched it works that way. So there's 466 members paying 28 quid a month. That's like 12, 13 grand a month at the minute that it's doing. And one day I'll go on, or I'll get a notification off Stripe and it's like £4,000 going into your account. I'm like, oh, forgot about that.
Yeah.
And like,
it's nice to be £4,000.
It's the best position
it's
to
like,
be
in. I remember years ago, like, 100 quid was like, I'm never going to have that money.
Yeah.
And like, now it's just like,
what do I do with that? It was on holiday. Barry's open the fucking borders.
I swear down as soon as I can get on that plane. 17th
of May.
Have you?
Yeah,
17th I am
May.
Gone.
I'm away.
I'm going to fly myself.
Yeah. Fly me. I don't like flying. You won't want to fly me.
No, I don't want to fly you at all. We'll get British Airways to take me.
plan on business class this year.
Have you seen British Airways?
Yeah,
oh, I get them little beds and everything. Yeah, I think that's when you know you've kind of made it.
Yeah, you've made it, babe. You've made it.
Yeah,
I'm thinking of business class.
Yeah, when I go to New York next. Right, question number three. It's Monday morning and you're not motivated one little bit. What song do you play to get you ready to take on the day and explain why?
Oh, can I choose two?
Of course you can.
So, I'm so paid, Akon, that I'm so paid. I love that one because, and the reason why is because when I was manifesting Belvie, I used to drive past the foot of the building, that song was like out at that time. I used to put it on full whack and look at the building and be like, and I'd not even got the building at this point. Like, wow. I was just in negotiations with the landlord and I looked at the building and I was like, I'm so paid, number one hustler, getting money, like that. And then, and now I've got the building as well. So that one still to this day, like, reps me off. And then Bodak Yellow, Cardi B, little bitch.
Oh, that is yours.
If you wanted to, because there's so many people that was like, hey, business will never work, it'll never be successful, she's this, she's that, or people that have come to Bobby and then gone and then decided I'm the worst person after writing. I've written 10 paragraphs about how much I've changed their fucking lives and inspired them. Then I'm the bad and it's like, listen, bitch, you can't fuck with me if you wanted to.
So, I love it.
Yeah, that's my songs and why, and they still hype me up big time. So yeah,
it's weird how songs like do that. Yeah, I listen to the same song every morning on my way to work. The same ones. Yeah, I have to do it. It just gets me even when I'm feeling like
shit. It gets your energy up, doesn't it?
Yeah, when you're having a bad morning or you just don't feel, because we all have days like that, don't we? You've got to just crack on, haven't you? Right, so not that you would need to ask this question because everyone knows, but in case they don't, where can the listeners connect with you online?
The best platform to connect me online, I would say, is the Beauty Growth Academy Instagram, because that's where I'm really shit with my personal social media, to be honest, because I go through stages where I don't actually go on it, and then maybe I'll go on it for a couple of days, and then I won't go on it again for months. I looked on my Instagram, I've posted 4 times in the last year.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just not that interested in my own personal social media. It's all my business ones. So I tend to do more on the Beauty Growth Academy Instagram, and that's beauty_growth_academy.
Right.
That's my handle. And then, yeah, that's pretty much it.
Okay.
That's it. Find me there, bitches.
Find me there, bitches. I'm more Facebook. I get a lot of work from Facebook, though.
Yeah.
And more stories and stuff.
Yeah.
That I tend to use. Right, this is my favourite question. This is my signature question.
Okay.
If this was to be our last ever conversation, what would you say to me?
Well, I'm not going to die. Like,
I
hope not. So, like, we're having our last conversation, so I'm never going to speak to you again. I would be like, right, Gemma, don't fucking quit. Don't give up. You can do this. Make sure you're planning. Make sure you're aligned. Make sure you're working with the law of attraction. Never stop investing in yourself. Good luck. Don't stop. But just fucking do it! And I'll see you in hell.
Yes, that's where we're going.
We ain't going to fucking heaven.
Oh no, we've been too bad, haven't we? Bad bitches.
I don't think I can repent my sins. All the jammy wagon wheels I've stolen over the years are going to catch up on me.
All bad things I've done, yeah. Well, that was an amazing podcast. Thank you so much.
No, thank you for having me.
Your busy schedule.
No, not a problem. I've enjoyed it. I've actually got quite a chilled schedule over the next couple of days because I can.
I'm not, it's April. Yeah.
I'll just not talk to you this month.
No, I'm not available. My friends and family won't see me. Right, thank you so much for listening to this episode 5 of the podcast. The next podcast, episode 6, I've got a fantastic haulage company on. Not one to be missed. So thank you for listening. Leave me a comment. Let me know what you thought of this podcast. And we'll speak to you very, very soon.
Bye.
Bye.